Let's turn now for our reading to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, and we're going to be moving on to verse 26. It's very interesting when, as our custom is, we are working our way through Psalm 119 with Elder Honecker and Proverbs with myself. And when you are doing this, you're not going to miss any verses because you're preaching verse by verse. Now, while it may not be exactly the verse that you would choose to speak from if you were looking at a verse that you wanted to speak from, I actually, when I looked at this, verse 26, "He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him," is our verse this morning. That would probably not be the first verse that I would choose to speak from. But nonetheless, knowing that this is God's Word, and God has this verse in the Scriptures for our understanding, I have no intention of skipping over this. "He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him." Paul read this morning from Psalm 63, and the opening verse for Psalm 63, "O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." The state of laboring is an appointment from God. Genesis 3:19, at the very beginning, at the very outset, we see this. Genesis 3:19. "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. It is the law of God. It is the law of God in His church, so that those that do not work are counted to be disorderly. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." The need for our daily bread, it's like a sting or a goad to get you up every morning and to go to work. It's what spurs us on to all activity. So hunger is a sort of actual helper to all of our work. Are you hungry? Go to work. Is your family hungry? Go to work. You're going to have to work to provide food for yourself and for your family. So this hunger is like a helper to all of our work. And we should thank God for everything that He gives us that would push us on to do our best. And then, when you apply this to the spiritual, to our spiritual life, and spiritual things, it is the hunger of the soul which prompts us to seek after righteousness. It is the emptiness of these other joys that we enjoy from time to time in this life that sends us to the feast of the gospel. And it is through hard work and sometimes trouble that even the worst unrest and the worst trials can be overcome through hard work. It's actually a mercy that is mingled with the curse. What if there was no obligation to work? What if no one had the obligation to work? There would be an unmingled, unceasing evil that would prevail because of the lack of any occupation. And it is so today that when unemployment is at its highest, crime is also at its highest. When unemployment is at its lowest, crime is also at its lowest because people are working. Not everyone, and I'll just enter this, not everyone is going to be involved in laboring physically. Many will be involved in laboring mentally. But all of this is designed to engage you and myself in diligence and to quicken us. Ecclesiastes 9:7. Just over again, the writer to the Proverbs and the writer of Ecclesiastes 9:7. Nine seven through 10. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun. All the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou hast taken under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. We are all going to the grave. There is no device, as Solomon states, there is no device, no knowledge, no wisdom in the grave. So what are we told to do here? We are told that whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with all thy might. The soul that labors for itself. In our verse states, he that laboreth for himself. In the original, it is the soul. The soul that labors for itself. Soul here is equivalent to desire and appetite. Our appetite. Proverbs 6, verse 30. Back just a few chapters. Proverbs 6, verse 30. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. It is the desire and it is the appetite. So we see that here again, as always, it is a heart work. It's a heart work. It's not merely about the physical appetite. It's the heart work that is intended. The labor of the soul is what is recommended here. And this applies both to our worldly business as well as our religion, as well as spiritual things. The end of the verse, "For his mouth craveth it of him." This means to bend. To bend and to put a load on. To constrain and to press. So here it means his mouth bends over him, urging him on. Again, hunger is the great stimulus here of all work. There is a spiritual hungering and thirsting after righteousness of which Jesus speaks, and which he who is the bread of life is ready to satisfy. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." John chapter 6, verse 58. "This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." Jesus is that bread, the bread of life. "So he that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him." Some read this like this: A man labors for himself and drives away his own destruction. But the perverse man upon his own mouth carrieth destruction. So our appetite is very needful. Our mouth is continually craving it. You sit down at a Thanksgiving dinner, and you have that feast. And what do you say when you get up? I couldn't eat another bite. I'm never going to eat again. I'm so full. And that's at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And by 4 o'clock, you're out at the refrigerator. Where'd you put that turkey? Where's that pie? And you're hungry again. So our appetite is absolutely needful. It's continual. We are continually craving it. And so with spiritual things. Paul said this morning about the person that comes to church twice on the Lord's Day and once on a Wednesday. Is that it? Well, I came once. I came to church once. Isn't that enough? Well, is it? Is that how you come to a meal? Could you skip a meal as often as you skip going and sitting under the preaching of the Word of God? Your body certainly wouldn't allow you to do that. Why? Because your body is craving it. You get hungry. And so what do? You have to go to work. And you have to go to work to eat, to buy food, to have food, if you're going to be satisfied. The soul is no different. It requires constant relief. Or you starve. You're either going to starve physically or you're going to starve spiritually. Can you tell? Is it obvious of the person who is starving? Of course it is. You've all seen those pictures of those that have been in concentration camps that have been starved. Is it not obvious? Well, isn't it also obvious those that are being starved in a spiritual way? Yes, it is. to the observant eye. Their speech will betray them every time. The things that they go after will betray them every time. So what is it? Why does the Lord have a verse like this here in the Proverbs for our learning? Why is it that the most wise person in history has this verse for us to think upon? He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. It's necessary. It is necessary that we apply ourselves to the business of life while it lasts. Life is not endless. There is not only something to be had here in this life, there's something to be done in this life. And the chief good that we are to inquire after is the good that we should do. Ecclesiastes, again, Solomon. Ecclesiastes 2:3. I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine. Yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. Oh, that our heart would ever be more acquainted with wisdom. With wisdom. This is here and now. We live in the here and now. This is a world of service. It's a world of probation. It's a world of preparation for eternity. We live in the here and now, every one of us. We're getting ready for eternity. This is about you and I being here in this life, upon our business and upon our behavior in this life. Opportunity. Opportunity is to direct and to quicken our duty. That it is to be done, that everything that we do, that our hand finds to do, which the occasion calls for, whatever that is, we are to have an active hand in it, that we might be bringing about a good account. What good we have an opportunity of doing, we must do. In other words, if you have an opportunity of doing good, do it. Do it. We all have that opportunity. We are to do it with all of our might. We are to do it with all of our care, with all of our vigor, with all of our resolution. That's how we are to do good. And it doesn't have anything to do with our discouragements or the difficulties that we run into. We're still to do it with all of our might. It's a beautiful thing. Really. It's hard, right? It's hard, those of you that are working. That's why they call it what? Work. But it's amazing when we have the mindset, whatever that work happens to be, when we have the mindset that we're going to go in there and we see all of these difficulties and all of the discouragements that are before us, and the job lies on the other side of that, if we just get out there and just push our way through there and get right to the job. It's amazing how all of those other things, all of those other difficulties and discouragements just go away. You know, just get out of my way. Get out of my way and let me get down to the business. Okay, now I've weeded myself through there. I've got this opportunity in front of me. This is my business. This is what the Lord has called me to. But this isn't really spiritual, is it? This is just work. If God has placed you there, and God has said that we are to be laboring and that we are to do all that we do to the glory of God, then hasn't He called you to that work? Do it. Just do it. It's amazing. You've all heard the statement that we should make hay while the sun shines. Matthew Henry actually used those very words in his commentary on this, that we are to make hay while the sun shines. And I read that and I thought, wow, I thought that was a little newer than Matthew Henry. There is good reason why we should work the works of Him that sent us while it is day, because the night cometh when no man is going to be able to work. Our brother Calvin says that just as every man called to some public office, and that means a public work, not necessarily in the office of politics, has nothing to do with that. Just as every man called to some public office has to be employed in his daily task to do what the nature of his office demands. From this, we should also deduce a universal rule that the course of a man's life is as it were his day. This day, the day that you're in, is like your life. Therefore, as the shortness of daylight stirs laborers to industry and toil, that they may not be overtaken by the darkness of night in the middle of their work. So when we see that a short time of life is allotted to us, we should be ashamed of lazying in idleness. Calvin says, in short, as soon as God enlightens us by calling us, we must not delay, lest the opportunity be lost. Matthew Henry says, we must up and be doing now with all possible diligence, because our doing well will be done shortly, and we know not how soon. But this we know, that if we work, that if the work of life be not done when our time is done, we are undone forever. There is no work to be done, nor device to do it, no knowledge for speculation, nor wisdom for practice in the grave whither thou goest. We are all going toward the grave. Every day brings us a step nearer to the grave. When we are in the grave, it will be too late to mend our errors, the errors of this life. Too late to repent and to make our peace with God. Too late to lay up anything in store for eternal life. It must be done now or never. The grave is a land of darkness and silence, and therefore there is no doing anything for our souls there. It must be done now or never. I would have never thought that that would have come out of. He that laboreth, laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for our appetite. We thank you for our appetite which spurs us on to work. And we thank you, Lord, for our spiritual appetite that causes us to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And we pray, Lord, that as our brothers Calvin and Matthew Henry are so harmonious in this, we pray, Lord, that we might be up and doing, that we would not miss the opportunity, that we would not be lazying around. Oh, may we be ashamed for such action. We pray, Lord, for all that will hear this message. We pray, Lord, that it would spur everyone on to work, that which our hand finds to do, that we might do it with all of our might and do it to the glory of God and for Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray. Amen.